This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is January the 4th, 2017. My name is Davey McGimsey. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to another show. First of all, before we go any further, we'd like to thank everyone that came along to McCool's last week and joined in the live show. All those that took part on Facebook Live, great night. And thanks to all the Belfast Giants TV crew, McCool's crew, SSE crew that allowed that to happen. On tonight's show, we're going to look back at the few games that we had towards the end of the year. The first game against the Blaze this year. And take your fan agenda questions. And look, if you want to get involved, you can. On Twitter, at AVFTB. Get us on Facebook. The interviews we do are on SoundCloud. Jimmy Squeaker's fantastic pictures are on Instagram. We'll play the Steelers in the doubleheader this weekend. Massive, massive games. Who else could we have to host the show this week but Mr. Mark Hitchcock? Over to you.
Happy New Year and welcome to A View from the Bridge. I'm Mark Hitchcock, tonight's hostess with the mostess. And right now I'm joined by the stalwart, David McGimsey. Happy New Year, Davey.
Happy New Year, Mark. It's always good to have you on board with the big doubleheader against Sheffield, pulling you in for this week's show. Thanks very much for joining us.
Certainly beats the January blues. And talking of beating the blues, it's Simon Kitchen.
Hey, Hatchie, how are you going?
I'm very well, very well. Looking forward to the birthday weekend, Simon.
I'll maybe have one or two shandies, yes.
Yeah, well, and for all those listeners, Simon will take a pint of Harp Lager on Saturday night. So we've got three games to talk about from the last 7 days, all home games. The first game was after your live review from the Bridge against the Manchester Storm, and the streak was broken. 10 undefeated for the Giants going into that fixture with Manchester. And it started well with Demarai making it 1-0 in the second period. Dickin levelled it in the final minutes of that very same period. And Cartier with the winner, 43 seconds into the third, meant the streak was no more. Davey, always disappointing to lose at home. Always disappointing to lose, sorry Neil, to one of the smaller teams in the league at home, but also disappointing because the streak was live and it really could have been 11 on the spin.
It's a funny old game, this hockey game. And I know Sizz will agree with me here that the streak was broken by none other than Belfast Giants hero, legend, Shane Johnson. Simon and myself had a bit of a streak going there in the commentary box, but Johnny wanted his microphone back and it went sour from there. But, you know, on the ice, we just didn't really get going in this game. You know, I think the story of the first period was outshot 11-4, and you know, we needed to come out. We talked about getting at Manchester because we knew on the smaller ice they had, you know, they kind of dominated a couple of games against us. They hadn't given us time to breathe almost. They weren't on top of us, and we thought that on the bigger ice surface they mightn't be able to play that same sort of game, you know, that intensive forechecking game, smothering, keeping us, playing that four line trap almost along the blue, along the centre line, and once we came out just piling on top of us. But they were able to, and you know, they played a very, very good opening period of the game. They got a lot of rubber on the goaltender, and we didn't get very much going the other way.
And Simon, looking at the special teams in that game, a story of two special teams really. Five penalty kills successful, but seven power plays for the Giants. And so especially in that third period, there was two or three opportunities. Pasha taking the penalty of a minute and a half to go. It just wasn't clicking on the night for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. The Giants have struggled this year with their power play. But, you know, again, I agree with Davey. I just don't think we got going against Manchester. I thought it was one game too many for so far in December at that point. But you can't take anything away from the Storm. I thought they played very well. And they came in, a couple of guys short-benched as well. And, you know, they did take a couple of penalties. But I just thought they did enough to win. Their goalie was pretty good that night as well. And it was just unfortunate that we couldn't continue on and make it number 11. But, again, up to that point, you know, getting 17 out of... overall for December, 19 out of 23 points. You really can't be disappointed with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, so far this season, Davey, I think that's the third loss against Neil Chester. Bit of a bogey team there. Is there a curse hanging over the SSE every time that lace cravat walks into the building?
I think that the Manchester Storm, Omar Pasha and coach have put together a system, or well, not credit coach, putting together a system, come on here. I think that Pasha has put together a system to contain and to ultimately beat the Giants of always packing in round tight round Clemente and working on breakaways and working using their speed that they've got in abundance. They've got speed and skill. We knew that what they were going to have. On the small ice, they're going to be powerful. They're going to be compact and hard to beat. And on the big ice, they're expansive and they're fast. And, you know, as Sid says, call it an excuse, call it whatever you like. It just seemed we didn't have the jam or the jump, as Walser sometimes calls it. You know, we had had a lot of hockey over the previous, not just month, but the previous week. You know, the games were coming every other day. What about five games in a week or something, Sid, was that, you know.
And 5 games. 7 days was.
I know Manchester are going to have had plenty of games in, and perhaps they were travelling and we were at home and stuff, but you know, it just looked flat out of the bottle. There was no fizz in that first period at all, and okay, we got ourselves back into the game. We dominated probably possession at least, and the shot count as well in the second and third period, and it was one of those, as I've already said there, they packed in tight round Clemente and we just couldn't get the quality shooting lanes. You know, we moved the puck well, but we just couldn't get past Clemente on the night. And sometimes in hockey, you know, we've said this a few times over the last number of years, you can't win every game in this league. There's games that you think you probably on paper you should win. Sometimes you have to tip your cap to the opposition and say, you know, they came, they saw, they conquered, they put out the game plan, they rigidly stuck to it. And you know, if you watch that game back, it's a well deserved 2 points probably for the Manchester Storm.
Well, tip of the cap to Neil Russell. I'm sure he enjoyed his trip back home a little bit more with that result. After the game, we caught up with Giants head coach Derek Walser.
Coach Walser, Coach, 10 games before tonight of a winning run, and unfortunately, you know, jumping out at the start of the first, I think the guys, maybe the jump just wasn't quite there to start with.
Yeah, it's a lot of hockey, and you know, it looks like it just sort of caught up to us tonight. We did the best we can over these course of games, trying to give as much rest as we can. We just look like execution wasn't good. We're always a second late and second late on the forecheck, and they were the better team. And you know what? You know, sometimes you just got to tip your hat and say they deserved it tonight, and they got the 2 points. But again, we've gained a lot of ground. We had to keep positive. Now we just start again at zero and try to win the next one.
Yeah, so obviously it was a bit of a slow start, but I think the you know, the Giants built into the game and managed to get ahead with a good goal from James Desmarais, who's had a bit of a good run the last few games, but just weren't able to kick on from there.
Yeah, again, we're a little bit sloppy in our zone, not getting pucks out, and you know, when you get tired, mentally tired, you don't stop and start. You don't do the little things, and the little things add up to big things, and they end up costing you goals. And you know, again, they played a real good game. They had better jumps than us tonight, and you know, again, we're going to rest up again and just try to start all over and continue to climb up the ladder.
And, you know, so it was a slow start, but at the back end, we've talked about him before a few times, Jackson Whistle, you know, really, especially early on, kept the guys in the game there.
Yeah, Jackson and Murph have been fantastic this year. Every time they've been fresh, they've been playing solid, solid hockey for us. He gave us a chance to win, and that's all I got to ask. And the second goal is a mistake. You know, I thought Nick was a little bit in trouble, so I went to help him out a little bit. Didn't realize there's a guy that broke free from the offensive zone, and it's one of those things that, you know, you're going to make those mistakes, and sometimes we just got caught on the wrong side tonight and they used their quickness to capitalize.
And going into the third period, obviously 2-1 down early on, but you know, we I think we pretty much dominated that third period. A lot of puck possession, a lot of good looks at the net. The pucks just didn't quite go in. 4 chances I think on the power play in the last period as well, so it wasn't as if, you know, the guys weren't putting the effort in or anything like that. It just didn't go our way.
Yeah, I think we get the urgency back. We started pushing and playing the way we usually play. And, you know, it was one period, you know, 1 period too late. I think we would have played the second period, like the third there. We probably would have been up a goal and would have carried the momentum. But, again, they're a good team. I've said it before in the past. I really like their D. They're tough to get in on, and their goalie's been rock solid for them. And they're making noise. And that just makes the league better because, you know, it's always better when you have 5-6 teams challenging versus 2 or 3. So it's going to be a run to the end, survival of the fittest, and right now we just got to forget about today and get back at it on, I think, 30th we're playing, 30th? Get back on the 30th and come up with a better performance.
you say, you're obviously giving a bit of credit to the Storm there. They've had some pretty good results themselves, you know, win in Cardiff, now win in Belfast. So I think they're a team that could have a say in where the, you know, the league title may end up.
Yeah, I like their team. I just, you know, they're built well. They play an extremely well together team. And again, I think they just had a little bit more jump tonight. I think a lot of hockey, 5 games, 7 nights, 4 and 7 nights. We look tired. And again, when you get tired, you make mental mistakes, and the mental mistake cost us tonight. But in the long run, we didn't give up. We kept trying to push and push towards the end. We had opportunities. The goalie did his job. I thought Jax did his job. And all in all, I think the better team won tonight.
And looking forward to the weekend, a couple more games, Brayhead, I think it is on Friday, then away to Coventry. So, two, you know, things don't get any easier.
No, they're always tough. You know, we got a lot of hockey here to go, and you know, right now it's just focusing on Brayhead. That's it. Forget about tonight. Take tomorrow, rest up, and make sure we're ready to go play against Brayhead, who plays very similar to these guys. And you know, we got to be ready for it.
And you've got to be sort of pleased. Obviously, it's a 10-game run that we've had there, but to have moved up the standings. If you look back, maybe 5-6 weeks where you know things weren't maybe going how we hoped, you must be delighted where we are at the minute.
Yeah, I've been happy from day one how we've played. We just haven't gotten the results every night. And again, we had some positives, just didn't get wins, and then games that we did lose was mistakes. And we figured out what the mistakes were killing us, and we've narrowed those down. But tonight they crept back in tonight on us. I think one is we pushed a little bit. We weren't feeling it, so we're trying for the high risk. Again, that comes from mental tiredness. And I think the guys deserve another day to rest, and hopefully we can get everyone fresh and mentally ready for Brayhead.
So there we go. Thank you, Mr. Walser. So the Giants looked to embark on another streak a few days later on Friday when they played at home against the Brayhead Clan. Fresh off the win in Brayhead on Boxing Day. I think Simon enjoyed that one, so saw a few pictures on social media. The Brayhead Clan skated into town, and it was Rutherford, Shields, Demaray and two for Man of the Match, Alex Foster. For the Giants, Osberg, some guy called Peacock, and Levette for the Clan, meaning Simon Kitchen, 5-0 in all competitions against Brayhead. We talk about maybe a bogey team in the Storm, but my God, have the Giants got Clan's number this season.
Yeah, we again, it was another game. We played well. Obviously, you know, it was a few days before that. We were in the shopping centre, and we got the win there as well. But you're 100% right, Hitchy. I just think we know how to play against the Clan and keep them quiet. And, you know, when they got the first goal, and we, you know, a couple of minutes later, they got a really quick goal. I think it was only 22 seconds or something like that, Asperg scored. And then David Rutherford got one back pretty quickly as well. But once we scored the third goal at the start of the second period, I just thought that we'd really got control of the game. Alex Foster was excellent that night. James Demaray, his line with Saviano, and Colin Shields is just ticking. Every time they get on the ice, they create chances and they look like scoring. And I thought it was a really well-earned 2 points against the Clan, and great to finish 2016 with a win.
You've seen the bounce-back ability of the Giants, Davey, as Simon alludes to. Asperg scored 20 seconds, wasn't it, into the game. Giants boom straight back into the fixture. And that second period, the 3-1 second period, really just took the game away from Brayhead.
I think the critical thing you've said there is the bounce-back ability. You know, and that going down so early in the game, although because it's so early, you almost just reset and, you know, put that out of your head and go back at it. Rudy gets an early goal there, and he had a couple of quiet games over the Christmas period, and he's really sprung to life again in these last couple of games. And as lines have got settled down again, he's coming back into his own. You know, he had a very, very strong September, very strong pre-season, and he's sort of gone off. He got injured and he'd gone off the bubble a wee bit, and he's really back hitting the straps again. And yeah, we got the goals where we needed to. I think that, you know, Sikowski and Nets isn't as good a goaltender. Sikowski, isn't it, for Clan?
Yeah, it is indeed.
Yeah, I don't think he's as strong in Nets as perhaps Clemente has been this season. And the Giants have found a way. There's goaltenders you struggle against for some reason, and there's goaltenders you just seem to have their number. And the Giants have found that way. And I don't know what, you know, the ins and outs of why they don't use the same techniques against other goalies, or maybe other goalies are just better. You know, but they found a way past Sikowski. And on the night, another great game from Alex Foster, coming up with a game-winning goal again. And, you know, he's had another guy who had a you know, player of the month for December, the View from the Bridge vote, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, it was a solid all-round performance. You know, I think 5-3 almost, the three goals almost flatter Clan a little bit. It was a game of we're a puck possession team, and we kept the puck really, really well in that game. And for the best part of it, we carried the play to the Clan, and I think it was a, you know, as I say, Manchester deserved the win. I think Belfast deserved the win comfortably enough that night.
Now, against the Manchester Storm, Simon, Jackson Whistle was between the pipes. You can't really blame him for that loss. He only conceded two at the end of the day. But again, Derek Walter flips the netminder rotation. Murph comes into the goal, and he just carries on that streak of form.
Murph's been brilliant in December. Absolutely brilliant. You know what you're going to get from Stephen Murphy. And I do wholeheartedly agree with Derek Walter, because he's getting the rest. He's not going to be playing 60 games this season. Potentially, I would say he's probably going to play, at least two in every three games, the way Jackson is at the minute as well. But every time he steps in the ice, he gives you a chance of winning. That's all you can ask of your goaltender. Against Manchester, you know, Jackson, he didn't really do anything wrong. They created chances. They had far more quality scoring chances than what we did that night, but then taking him up against Brayhead, it was turned on its head. We were excellent against Brayhead and created chances every time. You know, you had the line of Keith Foster and Rutherford. Again, they're starting to pick up goals as well, and you're getting that secondary scoring. It's not all dependent upon Riley, Higgins and Forney. And it's just great to see that everybody's, you know, basically buying into it. Everybody's committing to it, and I just think it's been really well done by everybody the chance, especially coming into the new year.
Says if I can sorry hit you here, going to, I seen a poll there earlier. I don't know which one of these little polls on Twitter, one of the, whether it was an EIHL official one or was one of these other, you know, groups that are doing their own polls, that Jackson Whistle is up for Player of the Month, the Elite League Player of the Month in December. And now I'm not going to argue with that, although he played 5 games, 1-4, 4-1. Stephen Murphy played 8 games.
And lost one.
And only lost one in overtime. So I'm wondering on the selection process there, why Jackson Whistle's... That's kind of why whenever we were putting out our Player of the Month this month, the goalies had to be in there, because as you say, 19 out of 23 pointers or 24 points. Why, you know, Jackson Whistle has been perhaps selected above Stephen Murphy. Stephen Murphy's been exceptional in December.
He was. Again, I already said it, David, you just back me up again. And you know, we're very lucky to have two quality goaltenders. And again, Dicko, when he gets a chance of stepping in, you know, he does a good job as well. But Stephen Murphy, in one of those polls, said the other day, who was the best goaltender in the last 25 years? And for whatever reason, somebody decided to put Ben Bounds up. He's won one trophy. You had Jody Lehman, who was an absolute legend for Sheffield and
Coventry.
And you had Kay Wall, who's been excellent for Nottingham for the last number of years as well. And do you know what? Stephen Murphy should be right in there and talked about at the same standard as those two goaltenders. And, you know, again, I'm not going to argue. At the end of the day, Cardiff fans want to vote for Ben Bounds being the best goalie that's ever dressed up in a goalie gear. I think that's bang out of order. But Stephen Murphy should be talked about with being, you know, the championships that he's won in Belfast. He had a, by all standards of him, he'll say it himself, he didn't have a fantastic year last year. But coming into this year, he's looked solid every time he gets in the ice, and he's given the Giants a chance of winning.
And it was Stephen Murphy who kept his place in the Giants lineup as 2016 turned into 2017. The Coventry Blaze flying over to Northern Ireland on Monday afternoon. Ashley Tate put the Blaze 1-0 up in the second period. Another quick equaliser for the Belfast Giants from Rutherford. The first of two goals for the snap cap wearing hero put the Giants 2-1 ahead. And it was 2-1. It stayed until the latter stages of the game when Saviano and Higgins both blasted in empty net goals. Simon, starting with you, looking at the shot count of this game, 45 shots to 23, heavily weighted in the Giants' favour. Was this a game where the shooting boots weren't on, or was it the Brian Stewart show?
Brian Stewart played very well. First and second period, to be honest, was very, very scrappy. It's sort of, you know, there was an early fight between Klotz and Jim van der Meer that sort of, you're sitting thinking, right, okay, this is going to could be really niggly match, and really feisty, and it sort of then calmed down. But Ashley Tate, I think it was their first power play of the night. They had a really quick power play goal, and that sort of woke the Giants up. They come out next shift, David Rutherford scored the equalise, and once the Giants got the second goal, I think it was about 5 or 6 minutes into the third period, they really didn't look back. I know they've got two empty goals, but they were in control. The Coventry players had a couple of chances, nothing that really worried the standalone Belfast Giants, and being Stephen Murphy and defensively, I thought were very strong as well. But, you know, they give us a couple of opportunities but by taking penalties. It was a bad hit on Mike Forney. He didn't return for the third period. But overall, you know, again, another 2 points to start the 2017. We thoroughly deserve the win.
The kind of game, Davey, earlier on in the season, the Giants may have slipped up. I think they did slip up to the Blaze at home earlier in the campaign. There's been one player in particular, and that's Adam Keefe, who's been dropped for a couple of games. He's been behind the bench and a bit of polarising opinion. He really stepped it up, didn't he, on Monday night? The fight, the kind of pinnacle of a man of a match performance from Kiefer. A Kiefer of old, you could say.
I think sometimes, and we're all guilty of it, is looking at people's points production to see what they're adding. And I think that certainly in my hockey watching over the last 3 or 4 years, I've matured in what I know about the game, and it's not always about point production. And Kiefer's an example this year of someone who's had to fight for his ice time maybe a bit more than he's had in the last number of years. He's not that given, you know, he's not getting 20 minutes of ice time anymore. He's not the same player he was. Of course, you know, everybody's careers change and take on different roles as they go along through their careers. But on the other night, Kiefer took that game by the scruff of the neck, and he went out there, and I can't even remember who it was. Was it Toey or Boxy gets hit by Klotz? Says
Vegas Bottle, yeah,
and he's gone straight after him. You're not doing that, and that's what Kiefer's made his career on. I think it's sent in to says 50th fight for the Giants. That says it all. You know, he's always never ever been found wanting when it comes to the rough stuff, and he gets a few in against Klotz. He's given up, I think, 7 or 8 inches in height, 20-30 pounds in weight, but it doesn't matter. He's fighting for Belfast. He's fighting for our city and our club and our badge and his badge, because it's his city now. And you know, that got everybody. That got it was getting a little bit flat and it was getting a little bit nervous where we're leading 2-1. The Blaze were trying to pour it on in the third period, you know, that had a little period of possession. And he just took the sting out of them. Put one of their best players in the box. You know, okay, they both went for the rest of the game. And, you know, to me, Keith, probably our man of the match the other night. I don't know who ended up getting it. Was it Keith that got it, says?
Yeah, it was Adam Keith. He was excellent. He was really...
Adam Keith got it. And, you know, a captain's performance when we needed one, because we'd obviously got the win a couple of nights before, and you need to get back on that winning streak again, because as we said on the live show, we can't worry about what Cardiff Devils do, but if they slip up, we need to be in second place to overtake them. We can't be worrying about what's behind us. We can't be worrying about what's in front of us. We can just worry about period by period on the ice. I know it's a bit cliche and all, one game at a time, but that's all we can do, and the captain grabbed this game and helped us to win it.
After the game, we caught up with David Rutherford, scorer of those 2 goals.
Joined now by man of the match tonight, Dave Rutherford. Dave, well done. 2 good goals and a very important win.
Yeah, you know, I think after getting down right away, we found a way to respond. So, you know, we got 3 lines that are kind of really clicking at the right time right now. You know, we were for a little bit there, we were kind of struggling to find where we all fit as lines, and I think guys tonight competed. It wasn't the prettiest game, I'll say that, but you know, finding ways to get points in last month and this month, starting this off right, was huge.
I think it's fair to say that, you know, especially in the first period, that, you know, the Giants dominated but couldn't quite put the puck in the net early on. I think it was just a case then of keeping going.
No, their goalie is phenomenal. Stewie's a rep, played against him for a lot of years, and he steals games everywhere in this league. So we had to find ways to get the puck to the net and look for our second, third chances. I think we were able to kind of late. I was lucky to get one off a rebound on the power play, just sneaking from the side. So those are the type of things you have to do if you want to score against a guy like that. So they're a great team. I think their record probably doesn't show how good they are. They moved up the puck up ice really quick, and I thought we kept it simple, and that's why we did well tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was very important as well. You know, having dominated, then to fall behind to that Ashley Tate power play goal to respond very quickly, and you did that.
Yeah, it might have been the next shift. I'm
I think
not.
I think it pretty much
might have been.
Yeah.
So it, you know what. Kiefer finally. I've been saying to him, just let's try and get on the same page, get me the puck, and good things will happen. Wally's been telling me to shoot the puck before this. A couple games ago, I hadn't been scoring much. So I just got the puck, tried to shoot it as quick as I could, especially on that goaltender, and I found a way in the net.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of mentioned it there. You started the season with a bit of a hot run. You had the injury, you've come back, and maybe haven't scored as much as you would have wanted, but you must be pleased to get a couple tonight again.
Yeah, no, I always want to hold myself accountable and score. I wasn't upset with the way I was playing. I was getting lots of chances, but it just wasn't going in. So I really just tried to stay positive and tell myself, if you're getting the chances, you're doing the things right. It'll come eventually. And so, you know, I like Wally said, you can't score if you don't shoot. So we were lucky to have some good lanes tonight, and I was able to get shots off, and they just found the net.
And looking forward, you know, well, I suppose looking back, it's been a hectic period over Christmas. So a lot of games, very short space of time, not much time for the guys to get rest. But it's a chance now to reset this week and look forward to a massive weekend against the Steelers.
Yeah, no, it's huge. I'm not sure how far back they are in us, but I know they're right behind us. So we know they're a great team. They're coached really well. They have great players. We're going to have to be ready for that. We got a little bit of time now to relax, kind of get ready for it. So that'll be nice, but it's going to be a higher tempo game, I can tell you that, this week.
And I suppose, you know, looking at the team overall, you look back at probably a month or so, and we're maybe not falling off the pace, but we're a little bit further behind the Devils than we would like to be, but we're right back in the mix now.
Well, yeah, I think everyone gets so focused on watching a team ahead, but, like, if you would have told me we're 16 points back, I don't know. I know people here kind of get I don't think they read into it too well a lot of times. We did well. We did what we needed to do. And it's one game at a time. It's a long season. So I feel like sometimes people push the panic buttons around here when you just got to work out about the process. And a couple months ago, people were calling for people's heads. And I think it says a lot about the guys. The guys all stuck together in the dressing room, and that's we knew the group we had when we came here. So nothing really surprises us in the dressing room. It might to some people out there, but we're just focused on doing what matters in the dressing room for us.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much. Congratulations. No, yeah. Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you to David Rutherford. Simon, interesting comments there from David Rutherford about fans that wanted change. What do you take from that?
Do you know what? He's just these guys. I find over that there's a lot of fans that don't that think that maybe the players just are here to play hockey and they don't do anything else. You know, some of them listen to the podcast. A lot of them are on social media, both Twitter and Facebook. They see what people are talking about them. They see that maybe some people are saying that there should be change and that person doesn't deserve to be in the lineup or he should be on his way. They're not stupid. And when they see comments like this coming in, you can take it two ways. One, you can let it go to you, or one, you can set it up and take it as a bit of fire in the belly and get on with it. And we talked about it on the podcast on numerous occasions. Is it time to make a change, or do you have to stand by the guys? Or we're not a club that basically just throws people by the wayside. And I'm proud of that. Sometimes you do want to go down the line and maybe not so much make a change and getting rid of somebody, but bringing somebody else in to give everybody in the club a lift, maybe a little bit of tiredness and try and get somebody else back into the lineup. But I think he was justified in what he said. I just think he was basically saying, being honest, and I have a chat there about the way some of the fans have been giving their comments and again, they're entitled to their opinion. They come in, they pay money, they get into the SSE arena and for their tickets and their food and their drink. So they're definitely entitled to their opinion, but they're not always right, myself included.
Davey, are you always right?
Yes, not catch yourself.
Far from it, but I agree with Sizzler in his comment about addition, but it doesn't have to be addition by subtraction. You can bring, over the years we've brought in, I think Kevin Surratt originally came in around Christmas. Sometimes injuries mean that you have to bring players in. Sometimes you just need a bit of freshness around the locker room. I think Sweezer came in late, Sean Barron's back in Stewie's season, came and went, but different people come in just to freshen, change. And I think it'd be hard pushed to find anyone that would disagree with maybe through October, early November, we weren't making the chances, we weren't winning the shot count, we weren't winning the penalty counts as many games as we should, but we stuck at it and players stuck at it, and it came round that we were making opportunities and they just weren't going in. And as Rudy says in his interview there, as long as you're making the opportunities, eventually they will go in. I think it was Sid said maybe about 5 or 6 weeks ago on the podcast, somebody's going to get a shoe in one of these days. And certainly across the Christmas period, when confidence is a funny thing in hockey, and you hear coaches and players coming on talking about gripping the stick tightly. And it's a fact, whenever you see a team that's in a slump, those same players couldn't hit a barn door. And then when you're in the midst of a 10-game streak, they want it on their stick and they're getting shots and they're getting goals. It's just that it's a lot of sports down to confidence and psychology and, you know, mentality and all. And we got going through that streak and we're going again. You know, we had the little blip against Manchester. You know, you take that out, what's that, 10, 12 games now with one game dropped, and that's consistency that we've been crying out for. And I was having a little discussion on somebody on Facebook yesterday about our power play in the game against the Blaze the other night, and they're saying, you know, oh, we're not shooting enough in the power play. And I just asked him, is it that easy? I didn't play the game, I don't know. You know, Simon's a good answer. Dave Grant put a picture on his Facebook the other way. You know, Dave's a goalie, and he put a picture of a shooting lane on a power play on. You know, very, very little to shoot at. It's about, a power play is about all five people moving and making opportunities. It's not just get it to the point and have a rifle. You know, and that's what we're trying to say, you know. It's not a straightforward game as get it on the stick and shoot. But if you don't shoot, you'll never score. So it's a game that, you know, I think Rudy's maybe, as Simon said, you know, criticism hurts. Some people take it one way, some people take it another. So if you're going to be one of those people that's going to be critical, whenever the team's going well, you've got to be one of those people that's going to say, well, you know what, maybe it was wrong.
So fair enough there to Mr. Rutherford for his comments. I guess in professional sports, you've got to be thick-skinned. There will always be the watcher. So now it's time to look at the fan agenda. And before we move forward, turning up like Stefan Hogarth after a delayed Aer Lingus flight, we're joined by the one and only Aaron Kernahan. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hitchie. How are you?
Very well, very well, very well, very, 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 very well. So we've got three fan agendas. People obviously had a bit too much turkey over the festive season and couldn't be bothered to tweet us. So I'm going to give you one each. I'm going to start with you, Arne, because you've been slacking. This one's from Michael Crawford, and he asks, with the team doing well on the run we are on, do you think we may still need to make changes to the roster, or would you keep it as it is?
I think we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we weren't keeping an eye out to see if there were guys out there that could, you know, that could improve the side. So I wouldn't be necessarily looking to make any changes, but if someone became available who was going to make the team better, then I would like to think we would take up that option.
What positions would you see the Giants needing to be strengthened? I'm tweeting myself here because of the lack of interest.
Well, I mean, we're carrying seven D-men at the minute, and we have had a D-man playing, sort of on the either the right or left wing on the fourth line the last few games. So I suppose if we were looking to bring anyone in, it would be another forward and probably someone who could put the puck in the net. You know, we've seen in the last few weeks the team have sort of the scoring's been spread around a bit more than it had been earlier in the year when we were pretty reliant on the one line. But you know, anyone who can come along and add, you know, our offensive side, it would be very welcome to come in.
Okay. Now I'm going to go over to you next, Simon. This one comes from Darren. He tweeted this. Now I had to double check this was qualified for this week. He tweeted this on the day of the Storm game, but it was after the game. Obviously a knee-jerk reaction tweet, and it simply says Fawny overrated? ?
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't think he's overrated, no. Mike Forney, by his own, you know, he puts high standards on himself, and he's a quality player. I think he's had a really quiet December. He's playing with two great players, Higgy and Blair Riley have been excellent the whole way through November, December. And I think Mike's just had a couple of games there where he's not picking up points. And if he wasn't getting chances, then I'd be more concerned. He's still getting the chances, but unfortunately the puck's just not going in the net for him at the minute. So, no, I wouldn't change him. I certainly wouldn't. I don't think he's overrated at all. And I just think he's just having a tough time at the minute.
And a big week, yes.
I know that you said it was one question each, but I have to come in on that one just to give you a few stats as I do.
All right, we'll cut it out.
You know, he had a bit of a quiet November, December time last season as well, and he burst through again in January once the new year came in. So hopefully that's a, you know, just a cyclical thing with him. He had a good start this season. He tailed off a wee bit. Maybe he'll come back strong again. Very, very good in the face-off circle. Almost 500 face-offs under his belt. More or less 60%. So, you know, he's that centre man that you need on that top line. You get your top line possession, your top line are going to score goals. You know, it doesn't have to be always down to Forney to score the goals, as long as he's creating opportunities for other, or he's you know, his plus minus is okay, so he's being in a creative zone with the, you know, activating the D-man perhaps, or getting the other assists maybe rather than Forney, but he's contributing there. He needs more goals, there's no doubt about that. I would say, I think, what is he, 0.76 points per game. Mike Forney himself, as says, would say these guys hold themselves to a very, very serious account. He needs to be a point a game player in this league, because he's proven that he is that high quality player. And he's maybe just had a bit of a quiet December, and we're hopeful that he'll kick on and get going again here in January.
Well, I'm staying with you, Dave. It's your turn now, even though you've stole Simon's. This one's from Sue Mack at Sleepy Sue's 14. This was a last minute fan agenda submission, and she asks, in terms of Adam Keefe, it's so obvious that he bleeds teal. Is there any other team that has a commitment from a player like Adam Keefe? And if so, who would you compare him to in the elite league? Past or present, I guess.
Past or present? That's a really good question. I'd love to have a bit of time to think about that, because there will have been players, the likes of Sacratini from years ago, that, you know, that sandpaper, someone that was willing to drop the gloves if he had to. Someone that's the heart and soul of their team, maybe in a different style. David Clark, perhaps, in Nottingham is the leader there. You know, Keith is a leader, and I believe in terms of pure leadership in this league, he's peerless. Genuinely, not just as a Belfast fan. You go around the league and you ask Cardiff Devils fans, maybe not so much now, but two or three seasons ago, if you could have any player in the league in your team, they would have grabbed Adam Keith at a paid. He could have walked over the Irish Sea to Cardiff. He was that highly revered. Kiefer is the captain. They don't call him the captain for no reason. You know, he and yes, I think he's peerless, but maybe looking back to someone like a Sacratini, it's a good question. I'd love to have a bit of time to sit and think, because there's been so many players over the years that have been great, great leaders for their club. But I think, you know, in the elite league era, certainly over the last 5, 6, 7 years, Keefe stands alone.
Take a moment. I'm going to throw it over to the other guys. Simon, you had a similar role at Castlereagh. is there anyone you can think of?
Oh, actually, yes, I hear about you. You're just a tit. you know, there's maybe another guy in Cardiff, Brad Voth. You know, Voth put up the points and put up his fist whenever he had to as well, and he's very, very well thought of in Cardiff. But there's another captain in the league that you know, I would certainly would have took him in Belfast over the last number of years, is John Phillips. You know, Sheffield captain for the last number of years. He's you know, he plays absolutely brilliantly for the Sheffield Steelers. Real quality player. You know, he's been about for a long time, and I just think he's an excellent player, and could be thought of. Maybe not as highly regarded a captain as Adam Keith, but certainly there are thereabouts.
Aaron, what about you? Are you? Anyone spring to mind?
The likes, I suppose, Ron Shudra, maybe with yourselves, was around for a long, long time. I don't know how many years he played in with the Steelers. I know he did sort of, I think he left a couple of times, didn't he? But, you know, he ended up back there, and he probably played, I don't know how many games he played, probably 400 or 500 games. Actually, Tate at the Blaze as well in the last few years. Again, I know he hasn't been there for, well, I suppose he's been there for maybe, 5, 6 years now. So there's a couple of guys that sort of pop out sort of in recent times as well.
And Davey, I've got one last chance. I know you've been sat there furiously thrashing away in your mind as to who you can add.
No, but a very good shout from Sizz there for the Mayor of Cardiff and Brad Foth, someone who did a bit of everything, but I'm glad we had Kiefer.
Absolutely. I can't believe nobody said Jason Hewitt. Right, we're going to move on now to around the league. We'll start off with our favourite, Mdops. We're not going to play the jingle anymore because he's sodded off. We'll cover that in a minute. Dops have banned the Edinburgh Capitals. Is it Michael? I don't bloody know. Dobran. Illegal check to the head versus Fife on New Year's Eve. He's been given a one-game match ban for checking to the head. Anyone see that incident?
I did. Yeah, well deserved. Absolutely 100% ban in my opinion.
Okay. One thing to note, there have been a couple of things waved off by Dops, some Storm player, but also no further action on Josh Godfrey for the check to the head in the game against the Giants. Again, guys, would you have expected anything further from that incident, or do you think it's fair enough to leave it as it is?
I think me and Sez had a good old chat about this on Monday morning when I put it on as the I'm the ref. It maybe was being a bit tail-tinted, you know, that I felt that it could have been viewed as maybe a bit more supplementary discipline, maybe a 5+ game, no suspension. I don't think a suspension was in order, but I think he got away pretty light with a 2+10. I when you look at it slow down, Higgins' body position just as he goes to cross-check him, you know, he's cross-checking him high on the shoulder, he misses and he catches him square in the side of the head. There's no such thing as a clean check to the head, as you know, in the rule book. You know, okay, Higgins is slightly looking down, the puck's between their feet, but the puck isn't there. There's a difference between playing a man to separate him from the puck and just playing a man, and it's just a bad hit to the head. He's fortunate that Higgy wasn't hurt. I think that probably, you know, is a bit to do with the Dops decision as well. I've obviously had the referee's report. The referee says what he's thought. So probably all the factors brought in that Higgy's heading downwards when the check's heading upwards. It's a bad hit. 2+10, fair enough. I don't think it was a suspension, but I think it was more than a 2+10.
Well, the voice of Dops and also on the sideline, the head of media and communications, Seth Bennett, left the Elite League over the Christmas period. He got a full-time job with Her Majesty's British Broadcasting Corporation. Full-time, the decision by Tony Smith and the Elite League board was to promote Craig Anderson and Rob McGregor, who have been supporting Seth, into a shared role moving forward. This year, Seth obviously took the bull by the horn, so to speak. And what do you think his biggest accomplishments have been in the 5 or 6 months that he's been looking after this role?
I think the communication this year probably has been a bit better than it had over the last. So he's just having someone there who's been able to, you know, to put so much effort into it. And of course, I suppose bringing in those two guys who now, you know, two guys that have sort of on their personal Twitters and internet or podcasts and things like that have done a very good job. So by bringing them in and now having them there and sort of groomed to take over from it, it'll be interesting to see how they go for the rest of the year.
Davey, I'm going to come to you. Okay. Now, I'm a friend of Rob McGregor. I think he's a lovely chap. I've never met the Scottish one. Do you think the Elite League have made a bit of a... I'm not going to say a faux pas, because these guys have obviously been reared by Seth and they know the role, they know what the agenda is, they know what the kind of mission statement is. But do you think the Elite League needs somebody, another prestigious character? Seth Bennett has a huge background in media. You know, he's worked for the BBC, he's done the Olympics, he's done all of this stuff. He knows everyone in the sport. Would you have expected the Elite League to replace Seth with somebody of that kind of same aura? Or do you think Robin and Craig can do an equal task?
Probably not for the first time you'll hear that it's probably down to money. You know, the commercial role that was never filled and now a media role that's, and this isn't disparaging towards Craig and Rob, that's not being filled. You know, they're saying that the work of three people now are going to be done by two people. That's not disparaging towards them. That's just how it is. Should it be done by somebody else? You know, advertise. Is there somebody else out there that's willing to work for the money that perhaps Seth was on? I obviously have no idea of the commercial aspect behind this. But, you know, for the first time, they have a product here that they're selling to the people very well, you know. But it's only going to people that already know about hockey. You know, Craig and Rob are going to tweet and they're going to stick stuff up on the Elite League website and they're going to try and get it into a few mainstream, you know, newspapers and stuff. But, you know, they're preaching to the choir here. We already know about hockey, so we know where to go to find the information. It's about taking that next step and, you know, to use the old best-kept secret, to stop it being the best-kept secret. You know, they've got it on this TV programme now. I've still to see it. You know, it's... The media...
You've seen it. If you've got YouTube, you've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah. I've seen the highlights. I've seen the Belfast Giants games. I've seen as much hockey as I need to see. But, you know, this front-runner thing could be so much better. I still think something will come out of this. I don't think the Elite League's going to be on front runner for the next 3 or 4 years or anything. But I just think that media needs handled in a different way to what it's currently being handled. And as I say, I'll caveat that with, that's nothing to do with Rob and Craig. They'll continue doing the good job that they've been doing with their hands almost tied the way they are, because they just have those mediums of Facebook and Twitter and the Elite League website to work on. So congratulations to them, if that's a term that they want to use. Bit of a poison chalice, because everyone's an armchair journalist nowadays, ourselves included, on the View from the Bridge here, you know. So there is media out there, and it's good that it's there, because it's a game we love to talk about and we love to read about and we love to watch. So, you know, the more the better. But is that something that coming down the line they'll be looking to Bob Ballard or someone, that type of person, to get back involved? I've seen a bit of a Twitter exchange between the guys the other day. So hard to know. Sayonara to Seth. He was good. He hasn't died or anything. He'll still be about, I'm sure, and giving a bit of advice as he likes to. So good luck to him, I suppose, would be the best we could say from a View from the Bridge.
And also, talking about Front Run, it's very strange hearing Simon Kitchen on Freeview TV after years and years of him being on the High Numbers channels after midnight. So the next bit of news in around the league were the Devils and the Giants confirmed the dates for their Challenge Cup semi-final, the first leg in Ice Arena Wales on Wednesday, February the 1st, with the follow-up at the SSE on Wednesday, February the 8th. The Giants again doing a superb promotion, £10 for adults and £5 for concessions. Also, it's included on your season ticket if you've got one of them fancy cards. We'll obviously preview the games, Simon, on a future podcast, but just very quickly, huge opportunity to get to a final, a Challenge Cup final, and you must be excited about those games, especially the second leg being at home.
Yeah, well, again, it's a long way away. Just, yeah, there's a lot of hockey played before the semi-final, the first leg comes around. But, yeah, you know what, I fancy our chances. If we keep playing the way we're playing at the minute, I definitely look forward to the both games in the start of February.
Final bit of around the league news, because the Belfast Giants are well and truly title contenders, they're, well, I guess two rivals. I'm not going to count Nottingham. Yeah, they're in the mix, whatever. The Steelers, two wins against the Storm, home and away over the New Year period. And the Cardiff Devils, one game after the turn of the year, beating Dundee 4-1 at home. So all three teams picking up wins either side of the New Year festivities. And I guess, on very briefly on that, with the Steelers winning and the Devils winning, obviously they're playing the Steelers this weekend. We're going to move on to that very shortly. It's important to keep picking up these points week in, week out.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's that time of year where, having, you know, we played whatever it was, 11 games in 22 days or something ridiculous like that. We managed to pick up a good, you know, a good number of wins in those, and winning all but one game over the Christmas period and through December. But now we're getting back into sort of the more regular routine of the season, and it's time to really kick on. You know, we've kept ourselves, we've manoeuvred ourselves into a good position, but we can't let it slip now.
Absolutely. And we move on now to the final segment of the show, and it's the preview of this big, big weekend. Massive weekend. I land at 1 p.m, ladies. It's the Sheffield Steelers doubleheader at the SSE Arena. Saturday, 7 o'clock. Sunday, 4 o'clock. The Giants 6 points ahead of the Steelers, who are sat in third. The Steelers do have three games in hand, but obviously with two games head-to-head this weekend, it can go in either direction, not just one. Davey, biggest weekend of the season by far. Is that an exaggeration?
So far, yes, it is. The weekends get bigger and bigger as you get towards the ultimate goal. And, you know, we've worked our way into it being a big weekend. 6 weeks ago, it wasn't going to be a big weekend, but that December has brought us really, I'm firing on all cylinders almost. I think you're going to face two different goaltenders. Sizz will probably be better placed. He's maybe down in practice this week. The likelihood is you'll face Murphy one night, Whistle the other night. So that'll give you a couple of different things. We have to be good in defence. We've got to be solid in defence to set up the opportunities going forward. And, you know, that Derek Walser system that he plays is tight at the back, built on consistent D. And, you know, we have to be disciplined. Our penalty kill's been good, but our power play hasn't been great. So we have to, 5-on-5, we're a match for any team in this league. So 5-on-5, we've got to be good. We've got to get shots on early. And, you know, we can't come out with the sort of slow start that we had against the Blaze and perhaps Manchester that whole first period. We have to come out. We've got to be up for this. The crowd have to be engaged, and the team have to be engaged from the get-go, as coach would say it all those years ago. You know, from that puck drops, we've got to be in your face. We've got to not let Matthew Waugh get anywhere near our blue paint. He's he's the best in the league in that position at getting in front of a goaltender and finding space and getting shots down low. So, you know, we've got to take him out. We've got size back there, Nickerson, Martinelli, Vandermeer. They've got to just do a number on him and limit his chances and hope that the secondary scoring that Sheffield have can be taken care of elsewhere.
Now, Simon, we've talked all podcasts long about an incredible December for the Giants. Bit of a mixed Christmas period, in particular for Sheffield. The two losses against the Nottingham Panthers will have hurt them deeply. They did bounce back against the Storm, but do you see the Steelers a bit of a wounded beast at the moment coming into this weekend?
I think they'll be right up for it. You know, I know they get rid of didn't they get rid of a player last week?
Schultz, yep.
And Schultz was, I was impressed when they played against us, but they don't, apparently they don't think a point a game's good enough, and if that's the way they're going, that's fair enough. But I just think that they'll be right up for that this weekend, and the Sheffield Steelers are a very, very good team. They've got good goaltending, solid defensively, and they've got guys that can put the puck in the net, and I just think that we need to concentrate and take a period of time. I do think we've got, you know, two wins in us against the Sheffield Steelers this weekend, but it's all, well, we'll find out come 7 o'clock on Sunday.
So the fourth and fifth meetings of the season between the clubs, Aaron, two defeats in Sheffield, but the win at home, the 2-1 win with Jackson Whistle backstopping the Giants in December. How do you think Walsh is going to play it in terms of netminding this weekend? Do you think he's got an eye on having a goalie in for each game, or do you think he'll pick one of the two and see how he gets on and maybe just take it from there?
That's a tricky one. I suppose the way I'd answer it is, I mean, Stephen Murphy was playing last week. He played pretty well. You know, I would probably personally go with him for the first game and take it from there. But I haven't, you know, I've confidence in either, in both our goalies. And I'd be happy no matter which, you know, what decision he makes. But I suppose it's a bit down as well to how the team play in front of them. You know, I think it was Davies touched on there. It's the team defense and being solid at the back and allowing us to have that platform to go on and hopefully claim the two wins.
Steelers have been tweeting, Davey, that they've a little bit not bashed up, and a couple of players who Fretter missed the game in Manchester. There was apparently Waugh's been playing with a bit of an injury. But I guess if you look throughout the squad, there's quality throughout. I mean, who, you've mentioned Waugh in the blue paint, but you want to keep him quiet. But who in that Steelers locker room do you see as a bit of an unsung hero that the Giants really need to keep their eye on?
I'd say John Armstrong. He's definitely a quality addition to the Steelers lineup this year. But I don't know, is Fretter going to be back for the game? Is there any? Is he?
We don't know yet. How do you compare John Armstrong in your affections to Joey Sides, Simon?
He's nowhere near my love for Joey Sides. You know, it's Joey Sides is the captain of the Dundee Stars, and actually we've plenty of time before we play him again. I'm not worried about him at the minute. But John Armstrong. The big lad, he controls the puck very well, skates very well, he definitely could be one to keep an eye on this weekend. I know there was, apparently I was watching the tweets coming in from the Steelers the other day for one of the games, saying it was a game time decision on Matthew Waugh. If it was a game time decision this weekend, a game against them, and he missed out, I'd be very happy.
Hitchy, gonna have to throw a question at you, or maybe two or three questions to you, obviously being the Sheffield Steeler in the wood pile here.
Giants employee though, remember.
Yard Haggos has been brought in 18 games, 1 goal, 7 assists. Jesse Schultz, point of game, gassed. You know, as a club, you know, they put out that statement to say that we do things in their own time, and Schultz had already been sacked. They've gassed their supporters club after 25 years here. They're cancelling their webcast. What's going on in Steelertown?
That's a great question. Thanks for that, Davey. To address what's happening in terms of players, I think there's an expectation on every man's shoulders. You said earlier in the podcast about Adam Keefe, you can't just judge people on points. And although, yeah, Schultz has been getting a point a game, I think there was an expectation on his shoulders to do a lot more than he has done in terms of his zone-to-zone presence and his attitude in the dressing room. I can't speak for Paul Thompson, but in the past, he's been known to make these kind of decisions. Chris Lawrence came in and and then he left. And some say he could have carried on at Sheffield and done a great job. Mike Duco was shown the door before a lot of people thought he had an opportunity to really prove his worth. But for what I will say is that so far as a head coach, Paul Thompson's made big decisions and they've paid off. Even Marek Pintz, who was the worst goalie I've seen in my life, won us a championship. So I'm not too concerned. And I think we did see a reaction against Manchester. And players will be fighting and playing for their roles. And I think it says a lot about the Sheffield Steelers. A lot of people say we're arrogant, but we're third in the league. But we're still looking to improve. And Tomo's still got the balls to make the changes that need to be made. Talking about the supporters club, I've been told a reason why that's the case, and I'll talk off the record about it. But it's a shame that that kind of era of fan support seems to be falling by the wayside.
Let's not talk off the record here, Hetchy.
No.
Come on.
No. So the one thing that really upsets me is the webcasts. The decision to kind of shelve the webcast, which is allegedly because there are certain establishments, and apparently at first they were at Nottingham, now we're being told in Sheffield, establishments paying £8, £10 when they should be paying the going rate for a commercial premise. So Mr. Smith has made the decision to cancel. And I, as a kind of an expat who lives away from Sheffield, and I pick and choose my games on a weekend because I've got a wife and kids that hate hockey, I will always pick the away games for the atmosphere of them and watch a lot of the home games on the webcast. So that's a big shame. But I don't think there's trouble in paradise quite yet. And two wins in Belfast for the Steelers this weekend and everyone's a saint again. And you know that. So we'll have to just see. But thank you for bringing me on to that, because this weekend, as always, will be on Giants Live. There's no blackouts in Belfast, as Simon Kitchen and Shane Johnson will be gripping their shaft of the microphone for both games.
Shane Johnson won't be. Shane Johnson's lucky. Shane's away to Boston to announce the next 2 years of the NCAA teams coming to Belfast.
Wow! So, have you just broke the?
We're still looking around for, but we'll be doing auditions on Saturday afternoon for a potential color commentator.
Could this be the debut? Could this be the debut, Simon?
I hope if you do go on Hitchy, you get the same record as I've had on them.
No, that's why you're not being invited back, Aaron. You've never had there's no chance.
You just stand on the bridge, Aaron, tweeting shutout. I'll take over the take over the commentary. Well, guys, tune in. You may even hear me. It depends how much I drink at the Glentoran game on Saturday afternoon. I think
they definitely won't hear you.
You will be steaming then.
Book your flight, Simsy. You've got a gig, mate. Now we've talked about the Steelers doubleheader. We're going to go around the table now for any other business. Dave, I'm going to come to you first. You want to mention the player of the month?
Yes, won this month by Alex Foster after a dirty campaign where he brought in his children and supporters clubs from Germany, etc. But very well deserved win, all the same. Foster taking it with about 40-odd% of vote from Colin Shields, who had another really good month, about 17 points, 6 goals, 11 assists, and a few game winners, a few man-of-the-match performances in there. Steve Saviano didn't get that much of the vote, despite having a really, really good time during December as well. And of course, the goalie trio, who we spoke about earlier in the show, of Jackson Whistle, Stephen Murphy and Andrew Dixon, all got game time and wins over the course of the month, all did really well. But congratulations to Alex Foster. We'll be getting that presented to him this weekend at some point during the Sheffield doubleheader.
Okie dokie. Simon, you want to talk about mugs, and I know you're not talking about us a lot.
There's some mugs that were available at the ABFTB Live on the 20th of December against Manchester. We still have a couple left. And all the money's going to a fantastic cause at the Ulster Hospital, Davey, is that right?
Well, certainly the money that we raised so far, I took it up to the Ulster Hospital the day it was before I headed back to Bristol there. Give it over to Natalie Greenaway, a nurse up there in the main Irish Sinclair ward. And they were really grateful. And I know it's not a big amount of money we give them, but any money to help those guys out, the nurses were, it was given to them to spend how they want. And if they want to spend it on chocolates and sweets for themselves, that's good enough for me, because those are, every one of those girls that work up there are a hero in my eyes.
Great, Dave, absolutely right.
Superb. Well, guys, I haven't had one yet, so I'll I'll bring an English £10 note with me. Mr. Kernahan, Rahan, anything to add?
Yeah, I just want to say well done to the organisation for the skate after the game with the players on, I've lost track of days, was it Sunday, Monday? You know, it sold out, I think there was 300-odd people that bought tickets to skate around the SSE Arena Ice after the game. The players were out, they were teaching, you know, the likes of Blake and all how to get around on the ice. So well done to the organisation for organising that and the amount of fun that was had there.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. I'm sure they'll look to do that again. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for all of your time. We'll go around and say a goodbye. Goodbye to you, Mr. Majimsi.
Good evening.
Good evening, Simon Kitchen.
Thank you very much.
And he came late, but he came everywhere. Aaron Kernan, good evening.
Good night.
Over to Davey for the outro. If you're in Belfast this weekend, you'll see me, unless the flyby at 1 p.m. Hits a bit of turbulence, and I might be in A&E. See you this weekend, kids.
You're such a...
What?
But isn't like, that's funny.
Here, can you actually save me the hassle of doing a nitro and do that instead of going around saying cheerio to everybody? Just do a... You know, wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll see you next time on A View from the
Bench. But I don't know the you need to go on this website.
No, don't. I'll do that on the intro. So we don't need to do it in the outro. So go that. So have a good time at the games this weekend at Sheffield. Thanks, Davey, says Aaron, for coming on the show.
It was a great outro.
It wasn't. It was a intro.
I thought it was...
All right, well, even,
what do
right,
you say, Simon?
Even after the Aaron bit, then instead of just go with an outro of saying, you know, big games this weekend. If you can't get down to Odyssey, get it on Jazz Live TV. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll see you next time.
Okay. You better say over to Davey. So there we have it. I'm Mark Hitchcock. This has been A View from the Bridge. Remember to watch the games if you can't make it to the SSE Arena on Giants Live TV. Catch us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Grindr, on Facebook. We're everywhere. Snapchat is Simon Kitchen's personal account. This is A View from the Bridge. Good night.
Your shit. I'll do the outro myself.
Okay, catch us on Grindr. Get it on.
Good night, everybody.
Well, let's actually try an outro then, Hitchy. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. Massive two games down at the SSE Arena this weekend. Tickets still available at the Odyssey box office on Ticketmaster. If you can't be there, all the action on Belfast Giants TV with Simon Kitchen. Of course, enjoy your weekend, folks, and wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you next time on A View from the Bridge.